First verse says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister." We see him, he was a slave, first of all, back in Egypt. And he came out of Egypt. And he was a faithful spy. He wanted to take the land. He was faithful to the Lord. And we see that he was faithful to Moses. He was willing to be the servant. And he was Moses' minister. That was what the Lord said of him. He said, Moses' minister. He was willing to be a servant and a follower. He didn't have to be out in front and be the leader the whole time. And but this is Joshua. Something we can learn about this is God uses the servant and the follower. Not that because you're a leader, God can't use you, but I guess it's the attitude behind it, the humility. But we see Joshua, before he became a leader, he was a follower and he was a servant to Moses' minister. He was Moses' minister. We see, as Pastor mentioned, I think it was Sunday, how he went into the tabernacle with Moses. Or he went up to the Mount Sinai, first of all, and then he was in the tabernacle. And even as Moses left, he was still in the tabernacle where the Lord was. And how he wanted to serve the Lord, as did Caleb, wholly serve the Lord. God uses the servant and the follower. In verse 2 it says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." Another thing we can learn about God is that God keeps his promises. He promised this way back to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and then he promised it to Moses. It says, "As I said to Moses," he says, "I will do this." God will keep his promises. And in verse 3 it says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast." The next thing is found in verse 5. He says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Something else we could learn about God here in verse 5 is that no one can stop God's plan for your life except you, because God makes us willing to do his will, but nobody else, no other human being can stop you from doing God's will. A lot of times you might feel that, well, I can't do that because of this circumstance. I can't do that because of that. But nothing can stop us from doing God's will. As God told Joshua, "No man shall be able to stand before thee." You're just little people compared to the giants. You're not very many, but that wasn't the issue. The issue is he had God on his side, and nothing could stop him from taking the land. That was God's will for his life, to lead them and take the land. And he said, "No man shall be able to stand before thee." No one can stop God's will for your life except yourself. And we'll continue on in verse 6. He says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." It says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." So there's just a few things you can learn about God, and I'm sure you probably could find some more things, but how can we apply those things that we've learned about God in those simple things? God uses the servant and the follower. We need to be content to be able to serve and to follow. Something else we could learn to apply. God keeps his promises. We can be bold and courageous in what God has said. He says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." And he says, "All power is given unto me. Go ye therefore." He says that I will be with you. We have his promises, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We don't have to be afraid. He promises to provide for our needs. He promises many things, and we can be bold and courageous in these things. And no one can stop God's plan for your life. Well, how can we apply that to our life? Well, we don't have to be afraid of what God has given us to do. We don't have to be afraid of God's will. It's like, well, but I can't because I don't like to speak in front of people. You know, that's me. It's not as bad as it used to be, but I didn't like talking in front of people. I was the shy person, hide behind my mom's skirt and didn't, you know, somebody talked to me, I just kind of look away. Or, you know, whatever the circumstance is if I do this, then it won't be good. I'll miss out on this or people will look at me funny. But we don't have to be afraid of what God has said. Nothing can stop you. Don't worry about the obstacles. If God has given you this task, nothing can stop you. As he said to Joshua, he says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." And now we get into verse 8. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So number one in this verse, I would like to look at the revelation of God's word. The revelation of God's word. I have the revelation of God's word, and I have the response to God's word, and then the result of God's word, if you're taking notes. Revelation, we have response and result. But it says here, this book of the law, God's word. God's word is written down. This word law, a lot of times we think of law as, well, I don't know what we think of. To me, I don't think of the other synonyms that the lexicon gave me. God's word is our instruction. The law or instruction is one way you could say it, instruction. I think of, maybe you've experienced this, or maybe you've been the mom who would say, you know, "I've got to go to town. Watch your younger brother, and don't forget to feed the dog. And if you need something to eat, you can have one of the snacks, but only one snack." And she'd give you the instruction, give you the things that you need to remember. And God has given us instructions that we need to do, but they're all written down. They're all written down in His Word. But another illustration or another synonym would be God's Word is our direction. So it's the law or instruction or direction or guide. Have you ever tried getting somewhere without any directions? I don't know if you are directionally challenged. I don't think I would call myself directionally challenged. But I guess I'm not the sharpest knife in the place where they keep the knives, you know. So getting somewhere without directions would be kind of hard. I could follow signs to a degree, but if I were in Canada, for instance, and I had to get somewhere, and I would have no idea. And so we need directions. We need to know, first of all, we need to know where we're going. And as Christians, we ought to know where we're going. Many of us, it's easy. I am guilty. You go throughout your day, and you forget your destination. Our destination is heaven. You forget our destination is to be in heaven with a holy God and to be holy with Him. And so a lot of times you forget your destination. And if you don't know where you're going, you're not really going to get there, are you? It usually doesn't work that way. But as Christians, we should know where we're going, but we need directions to get there. I may know, okay, my brother lives over in, I think he lives over in California, over in LA area, and okay, so I'll be able to get there. I don't need a map or anything. I'll just get on the road. I could get out west, but I don't think that I could get there without directions. It doesn't happen by accident that you land up at your destination like you should be. You need directions. You need a plan. God's given us His Word because He knows we need directions, why we're here. He knows that we need to know how to prepare to be with Him in heaven, as Peter tells us that we need to be holy. But God's Word is written down for us. It's our instruction, our direction. And God intended us to follow the instructions found in this book. When I thought of that, when that hit my mind, when I was looking at this passage, it's just kind of like, you know, It's very obvious, but to me it just kind of struck me. It's like, God intends for me to follow everything that he's written down. I need to be paying a lot more attention to what he's written down. God intended, he didn't just write it as, okay, you know, take a passage of it and you work on it a little bit at a time and, you know, just piddle away at it and you'll be a good Christian. But now he says, you need to obey all of it. As he says here, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. It's intended to be followed. It's intended to be obeyed. The directions are intended to be followed. And it's found in this book, not outside forces. A lot of times you have relatives or you know people that, I just read this book and it was so good, you know. And it's a spiritual writer, and it's not wrong to read books about that write about God, but a lot of times we prefer those over the Bible sometimes. Or this devotional book is really good, and we like to read the devotional book, and we neglect the Bible. And it all should agree with the Scripture. So God has intended us to follow this book. This is the only guide, the only ruler, the only book that he's given us. And he intends for us to obey all of it. God's word instructs us in the how to do life. The how to do life. This is how you do life. If you've ever, all of you have been taught how to do something, and I've been taught how to do a lot of things in the past year working construction, and sometimes it just takes time. You got to sit down. Okay, this is how you do that. You got to ask the question, the dumb question of, well, of course not, but anyhow. So you have that. The instructs us to how to do life. But a lot of times, as we were just talking about, Brother Lee and I were talking about, he's working on PVC pipes and cementing them together. And, there's a trick to it. You gotta get the trick. And there's a lot of tricks with a lot of different things. You got to know the trick to it. You've got to know how it works for it to work out right. And God knows that. He created the world. He created this life. And he created us, and he knew what we would be like, and he knows the best way. So God instructs us in the how to do life. He knows how we should live our life. No one else knows better than God, and he's written it in no other place than his word. And so everything we need to know about how to do life, he's given us in this manual, in this instruction book. He says in Acts 2:28, Thou hast made me to know, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of glory, joy with thy countenance. Let me say that again. He's quoting from the Psalms. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. All that to say, God has made known unto us the way of life, and he's given it in his word. Psalm 73:24 says, Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. He's promised to guide us with his counsel. And something else to point out, and I've kind of mentioned it, but God intended not only that we should, not only does God intend us to follow the instructions found in the book, but he intended that we should follow all of his word in Titus 2:14-15. Go ahead and turn over there, Titus chapter 2. I like this passage. Titus chapter 2, talking about looking for the blessed hope. He intends that we follow all of Scripture. In Titus 2, beginning in verse 11, he says here, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God doesn't pick and choose who gets to be saved. It says God's grace has appeared to all men. But he says here, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, and get this, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. He's talking to Titus, a pastor, instructing him what he should teach his people. But he says here, in particularly in verse 14, well, 12, he talks about denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We need to live soberly, righteously, and godly. But he kind of sums it up with the phrase that he should purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We ought to be zealous of good works, zealous. What does the word zealous mean? What do you think zealous means? Anybody have an idea? Energetic?
Strong.
Yeah, it's definitely not laid back and casual, right? Definitely it's the opposite of that. It's energetic, focused, you could say. One that is, full of life, full of life to do this. All about this particular thing. And it says, what should we be zealous about? It says, good works. And all of that is found in the Bible. He says here in Romans 10:2, I'll read it. It says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Again, this is Paul. He's speaking about the Jews, the unsaved Jews. He says they do have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. And we ought to have a zeal for God. We have to have both the zeal for God and the knowledge, and that comes with His Word. Not according to knowledge, but we have that knowledge. Again, Jesus speaking to the Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, he says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." He tells us we need to be zealous. We need to get a little more life in us about being a Christian, about following God's word. Zealous of good works. And he says, I love you. As many as I love, I will rebuke and chasten. And that's the signal for you to understand that. I'm not being zealous, and I need to be zealous. Be zealous, therefore, and he says, repent. Go back to Joshua chapter 1. I'm in Genesis, a little too far. Joshua chapter 1, and we'll look at 8, verse 8 again. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." So he's saying, this book of the law shall not be removed from your mouth. Sounds kind of funny, but that's what he's saying. Don't let God's word be removed from your mouth. It means it needs to stay on your mouth. He says, "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night." The word meditate has the idea of talking to yourself in a subdued voice. Kind of, you see, the fellows at work give me grief a lot because I talk to myself a lot about different things. I guess I picked that up largely from working at night by myself, and there's nobody else around, so you sing and you talk to yourself. But I'll mutter to myself, and they'll say, "What'd you say?" I was like, "Oh, I'm just talking to myself." And then a couple minutes later, what was that? "I'm just talking to myself." Yeah. But he's saying here, the idea here of meditate is the idea of talking to yourself, but not just about anything, but he says about Scripture, meditate therein. Talk about it or ponder it. Ponder it in your mind. "Thou shalt meditate therein." He's talking about what are we meditating therein? What is therein? He's talking about the law, the instruction, the guidebook. He's given us these things, and we need to meditate on them. So we looked at, first of all, the revelation of God's word, kind of in a general sense, but now the response to God's word. And as it kind of goes along with what I just said, but our intent should be to follow every instruction given to us by God. Every instruction. We ought to be zealous, so zealous that I want to obey every single thing that God says in His word. I mean, to us it seems like, "Oh, that's impossible. Why even try?" But, I have not been like that all the time. There's been times in my life where I've been zealous and I want to obey the Lord in every single thing. You get convicted when you start driving over the speed limit a little bit or something like that, and you're not paying attention to something. But I think God wants us to be tender, and God wants us to be zealous of good works. He wants us to obey everything that He's given us. In Deuteronomy 1, 35 and 36 says, "Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land." Again, he's talking to the people. They didn't want to go into the land, the promised land. And he says here that none of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land which I swear to give unto their fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children. Well, why is Caleb singled out? Well, it says here, because he hath, get it, he says, wholly followed the Lord. Wholly followed the Lord. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." So God, our intent should be, our response to God's word should be, to follow every instruction given to us by God, to be zealous in that respect, to follow the Lord wholly. If God could say that of you, that there's Brother Daryl who follows the Lord wholly with all his heart, or any, put your name in there. That I hope the Lord could say that of us. The law of God should be on our mouth. I just said that a few minutes ago. If it should not be removed from our mouth, logically, it means it should be on our mouth. God's word is to be spoken to ourselves, to be pondering, ponder it in your mind, going over scripture. God's word is to be pondered. So if it's to be pondered, it says here, let's look at it. It says, "This book of the law shall not be removed from your mouth, not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein," going over in your mind, therein. He says, during the day, all therein, day and night, during the day and during the night. What other part of the day is there? There is no other part of the day, right? All the time. He says here that it's to be pondered day and night. God's word is to be pondered during the day and the night. So how do we do this? Well, God's word must be accessible throughout the day, right? So maybe you're able to have a Bible with you all the time and you're able to look at it all the time, which would be fine, which would be great. Probably most of us are not able to do that. Maybe we can bring a 3x5 card or we can memorize scripture, but the Lord has told us, he didn't say specifically what we had to do here, but we need to be meditating on the scripture. It has to be accessible in some way so that we can be thinking on it. To do that, we have to make a plan. We have to prepare. You've heard the old adage, if you fail to plan, you've planned to fail, right? I recently, in the trailer, we had to fix our valve in our shower. So we cut it out. I cut it out, and I've seen people solder before, and Nate let me use some of his stuff and said, give it a try. So I went over and I did it, and I worked at least 8 hours on that thing, not including trips to Bangor and then the Crescent. But I learned something, that if you do not prepare your pipe fittings correctly, it will never work. Never, never, never. I didn't clean it well enough the first time. I forgot to use flux. I didn't use flux the first time. So you're supposed to put this flux on it. And so I struggled because I didn't prepare properly. I didn't plan the right way. I wasn't ready to do it all. But thankfully, I got it all fixed, and there's no leaks that I know of, so. You don't see them when you put up the board, you know, you just screw it in. No, but it's the same thing here. We may be well-intended. Okay, yes, I'm going to think on God's word all the day. And so we go, and we're just going to fail because we don't plan. Just like I was going to fail to solder these pipes. Because if you have water in it, you're never going to get it soldered. Or if you don't prepare it properly, it's just not going to work. And it's the same thing with meditating on God's word throughout the day, as he says that we should do, day and night. How are we going to do this? Well, we have to plan. Because if you don't plan, you've planned to fail. (Clears throat) God wants us to be careful to follow his instructions. In the same verse, he says, that thou mayest observe to do. To do. That word to do can also have the idea here of to apply or to do carefully. And the Lord wants us to be careful. Not the word to do, the word observe. The word to do does mean apply, but it doesn't mean careful. The word observe, it means to watch or to keep. That's the word I was looking for. The word observe, to watch or keep. It's kind of the idea of this pulpit here, and I'm observing, as the scripture says. You know, it's to watch. You know, you're watching, and you're keeping it, protecting it. But also, the basic idea, as I look down and look at the meanings, is to be careful about, to be attentive, to make sure. And he says here that thou mayest observe to do, that thou mayest watch. You're watching, you're keeping, you're protecting yourself or the holiness of God that we are supposed to have in our lives. We're being careful to follow his instructions. He says, okay, we need to be meditating on his word all the day. There's a reason why, because we need to be careful to protect the holiness of God in our life, because he wants us to be careful to follow all his instructions. So we need to be meditating on his word. Otherwise, like the kid whose mom said, don't forget to feed the dog, and don't forget to do this, and I'll be back at this time. And it's like, yes, mom, and they forget, and it doesn't happen. Because we're forgetful by nature, we have to be meditating on it so that we do not forget and so that we are careful to maintain God's holiness in our life. And God's word is intended to be applied. Applied. And that's what that word to do means. The word to do, you could say, to apply it. Same idea. So we looked at the revelation of God's word, and we kind of looked at the response to God's word. What should our response be? Yes, God's given us instruction and his guidebook here. It's all right here, everything we need. Our response should be to take it, make it accessible, and to meditate on it, to think on it all the day, all the night, all the time, and to be careful to apply it in our life. And here is the results of God's word. The results of a good relationship with God's word. He says here in the end, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. He says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So there is a purpose and a conclusion, there's an end to meditating on God's word. It's not just for no reason. There will be something at the end. I don't know if you've ever heard jokes where people will tell you this. They're telling you the story. They tell you the story, and then in the end of it, there's nothing. And it's kind of like, you spent 15 minutes to tell me this dumb thing. But that's not the way God does that. The Lord has something for us. He says, I want you to do this. There's a reason why. He says, there's a purpose. There's a conclusion to meditating on God's word. Proverbs 23:17 through 19 says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And get this part. He says, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. There is an end. There's a reason. And he gives it right here. Following God's word will cause you to be successful. It'll cause you to be successful. Success begins when you follow God's instruction. Look at the word order here. He says, according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. A lot of times we want the success first, and I'm a millennial, and so I want something for free, right? At least most millennials. We don't want to have to work for it. Give it to us, and then maybe we'll be able to, you know, do something with it. But no, the success comes after we apply God's word. And there's some synonyms for this word. You could say successful or effective. You could be effective. God's word will cause you to be effective. A lot of times we measure success by numbers or by seeing something. You know, if you give a tract, you want to see someone get saved. Or if you invite someone to church, you want to see them come to church. Or if you, whatever it is, you want to see results from it. But the scripture teaches us that that's not the measure of success. And it's not wrong to want to see those things. But, and you could, we talked about it in the youth. What is, how do you measure success? And there's a lot of good answers that came back. And but I would just say pleasing God would be successful. You could say glorifying God, yes. Those are all good answers. But just pleasing the Lord. If I do these things, if I take God's word, his instruction for me, and I take it, I make it accessible in my life throughout the day, and I meditate on it, and I'm careful to apply all of it. Not that we're going to be perfect, but the Lord will help us. That this will make me successful, be effective. Another word that you could use, or a phrase, I guess, as a synonym, would be to be of use. Following God's word will cause you to be of use. It's effective, something useful. A lot of times, we value things by how useful they are. When I began working for my boss in construction, I wasn't very useful. I was just kind of there, a body, to do things. But as time went on, I got the jobs. You know, I liked to clean things because I did a lot of cleaning and organizing. And so I'd clean out the trailer. The trailer is always a mess. It's always a mess. And anyhow, so I'd clean it and organize it and things, and then I'd have to re-clean it and reorganize it. But I became a little valuable because now people would ask me questions like, hey, did you see any trim coil nails on the van or on the trailer? Or do you know where the siding tool is? Or what happened to the vacuum cleaner? They'll ask me questions. I had a little bit of value to me because I was more useful. And I think that we can be more valuable as far in that sense by being more useful to God, being more pleasing to him in our hearts and what we do for him. To be of use, and that's what I would like to be. I want to be used of God. I don't want to just sit around. But following God's instruction, it says here, that is, make your way prosperous, and then in the last, and then thou shalt have good success. And the word success is, it's a causative word. It'll cause you to have success, is what it means. It'll cause you to have success. And the word success could also be used as insight or understanding. It'll cause you to have this understanding and insight that will cause success, is the idea here. But we only get that after we've taken God's word and meditated on all the day. I don't know if you're like me. Throughout my day, I forget. I forget what I read. Don't ask me about what pastor preached. Sometimes if you catch me off guard, I might forget. I forget about different prayer requests. I forget about them. I forget about a lot of things. I forget to think about God. I forget to do what he told me to do. I forget to have the right attitude in certain circumstances. And a lot of times, not a lot of times, all the time that happens, it's because I failed to keep the precepts of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, to meditate on the law of God and on spiritual things and on God's word. And I think that's what God wants all of us to do. He wants us to be there. He's not saying that you're going to be perfect, but he wants us to each individual, take this book of the law. Don't let it go from your mouth. Keep it there. Don't let it leave your mind. Keep it there. But thou shalt meditate. Think, ponder it. Speak it to, say it to yourself. Therein, day and night, all the time, that thou mayest observe. You're watching. You're being careful. Observe to do, to apply it according to all that is written therein. All of it. Every little thing. We think, well, it's not that important. A lot of times we just gloss over things and we don't want to find out the details. Like you work on something and you make a mistake and somebody looks at it, oh, I didn't see it. I don't know what you're talking about, you know. That's not the way we should act to God's word. A lot of times we're ignorant on purpose because we don't want to be too detailed about it. But he says that we should observe to do all that is written therein. And he says, for then, after that, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, successful, of use, effective. And then thou shalt have good success. Maybe not as in the eyes of man or in our own eyes, but in the eyes of God, and that's all that really matters. So I hope it's a blessing tonight. This is a challenge to me, an ongoing challenge to me, to meditate on God's word all the day and all the night. But if we don't plan, we've planned to fail. So we've got to make a decision what we're going to do. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for it being so applicable in our lives. Help us to be faithful. Thank you for your mercy, and that you know that we will fail often. But thank you that you're always there to forgive us and to give us grace. I pray that you'd bless the prayer time now, and I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.